this is Talk K-Dramas with Bruce and Dallas.
Hey!
We are doing Boys Over Flowers.
Yeah!
Episode 1.
An oldie but a goodie.
Okay, let's talk about it. I was going to say, tell us your 3. But let's talk about first a little bit about the show. We watched this. It came out in, when did it come out? January 5th, 2009.
Okay.
We watched it. How long ago do you think we watched it? We were in this house and we've been in here for 7 years.
We probably watched it about 7 years ago. Something very close to 7 years ago. Yeah.
So a few years after it came out,
mm-hmm.
It was out already. The director and screenwriter, the director is Jeon Ki-sang.
Mm-hmm.
About him is kind of sad. He got hit by a taxi and died.
Oh wow!
In 2018.
Mm-hmm.
That was sad. Yoon Ji-roon is the screenwriter. She also wrote Angel Eyes.
Oh, okay.
Which stars the main character Jeondi.
Mm-hmm.
Hi Seon. She's in that one.
Yes.
And that's one of our favorites.
Yes.
So
What
I think maybe people don't know about this, and I don't know if we knew when we first watched it,
mm-hmm.
that it's based on a Japanese manga.
Yes. Yeah, we didn't know that at first. But yeah, after a little bit, I figured that one out. We kind of figured out.
So it was written by Yoko Kamio, and it's one of the best-selling mangas of this time.
Yeah, of like all time, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I was looking it up. There's so much information on this, but I was looking it up on Wikipedia, and 61 million copies were mm-hmm. sold as of 2015. That's like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And so it is no longer in print. Like, they're not printing it anymore. I think where did I read when they stopped printing it? Anyways, I went to Barnes & Noble's this weekend, mm-hmm. like a fool.
Yeah.
Thought I was going to walk in there and find it on the shelf.
Yeah.
And no. But I'm very excited because I found a used copy.
Okay.
Somewhere, I don't know, South Carolina?
Yeah, okay.
So, I can't wait to get it.
Mm.
We'll talk more, I guess, about it later as we talk about the episode, but
mm-hmm.
I'm not a big manga fan. Actually, really not at all. Not that I don't like manga, but I've tried to read them
mm-hmm.
because our son Riley, he's mm-hmm. 19, loves manga. Actually, Carter does too. He's read some mangas.
Yes.
He reads them online, so I don't watch him. I can't tell that he's reading.
Right.
But I remember him telling me, because I'm like, you need to read. And he's like, Mom, I just read like a whole series of mangas.
Right.
You know? And so, but our son, Riley, was the first one to get into mangas.
Yeah.
And I can't remember how it started, but what I remember is going to a garage sale. Which mm-hmm. I love going to garage sales. Basically, people put all their own wanted junk out in the yard and you go through it and try to buy it for a dime or something.
The least amount, the better. Yes.
So I remember going to one and I remember where exactly it was too. But they were selling 8 books from Naruto.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was 1 through 8. And I was like, oh, I think my son reads this. You know, is this a good one? They're like, yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
I think I paid $8 for all of those. So I guess $1 each. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm spending $8 at a garage sale for books.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll find books for like a quarter.
Right. Yeah.
But I thought, okay, you know, I'll buy them. I think he'll like them. And I didn't know that. Well, that was a huge, popular manga series.
Right.
Huge.
Yeah, gigantic. And it has way more than 8.
I know.
Books in it, yeah.
Well, this is how many in the series. I don't know exactly how many, but there's so many. We used to drop Riley off at Barnes & Nobles.
Mm-hmm.
And he would spend like all day Saturday there reading all the books.
Mm-hmm.
And Barnes & Nobles is not a library. It's a bookstore. It's intended for you to buy books, not sit there all day and read them.
And yet people do.
But we were.
But it is kind of set up for you to like sit there and
lounge. Eat. I mean, yeah. We're not really lounge. I think they took the chairs out. But
that's because of the vid, dang. Because
yeah, that too. Yeah. But because I would feel a little guilty, but it was so cool. I was so excited that he was reading. Mm-hmm. Even I was like, oh my God, these are like comic books.
Yeah,
like,
they're just an extended like version of a comic book.
I know.
Way more story than I would argue than a comic book, but yeah.
I wasn't that happy about it because I'm like, you need to read a novel. Like, this is not real reading. And then I finally, like, I didn't realize how big manga was until I started. And then I started substitute teaching. Mm-hmm. And, like, I had to help in the library. And I'm like, oh, my God, they have a whole section of manga. Like, that's
right.
The kids are just reading mangas now. So that's how I got introduced. And you're right. Yeah. Mangas is a Japanese version of what we know as in America as a comic strip. Mm-hmm. However, it's you know, that's like basic. There's so much more differences within a manga. Mm-hmm. I mean, you read from back to front, right to left.
Oh.
you're looking at me like, am I wrong?
No, it took me a while to like actually figure out what you were talking about. I'm like, why is, well, yeah, I get that one? That's important to
Have
you.
Have you read a manga before?
What's that?
Have you read a manga before?
Probably not. I mean, I've seen my share of them, but yeah.
You have not really read like a series.
You know, I've read their close cousin. It's graphic novels. That's a whole. Are you not familiar?
I read a graphic novel.
Okay,
I introduced you to a graphic novel that I read. I can't remember what it's called. Oh, remember that one from the woman from New York?
Yeah,
read that graphic novel.
Yeah,
but this is different. Japanese manga is so different than that. There's so much more to it. There's so much more. And I obviously am not an expert. I haven't even read a whole series. Mm-hmm. I started to read Naruto because I was subbing and all the middle school kids were reading it. So I thought, okay, I'll read it so I can talk to them about it. But I couldn't finish it. I started reading, oh my gosh, it's a basketball one. Slam Dunk, because I thought Riley and I will read together because he likes, you know, he'll read mangas. Mm-hmm. So I'll read one with him, but he would read them so fast and I would take so long to read it because I'm looking at the artwork and I'm like, and then I was confused about which way they went, even though they tell you in the book how to go, because even the little pictures there, they're in a different order than what you're used to.
Right.
And I just wanted to look at the pictures. And so Riley was getting frustrated. I was taking so long. I was getting frustrated. And he doesn't even like sports. So the basketball one was, even though he enjoyed the manga.
Yeah.
But then I wouldn't understand. And I would be like, Riley, I don't understand what's going on here. Like, what? So anyways, yeah, there's a lot of little things that's really cool if you're into manga to understand. It's more like you got the big eyes, the hair, a little more emotion in it than a regular comic book.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Like if a person's angry, they may show fangs, you know, things like that. The other thing, what else did I learn from a manga? Oh, so there's any genre you want to read about, like sports, cooking, anything, there's a manga for it. And they categorize mangas into, so Boys Over Flowers is categorized as shoujo. So this is geared, this type of Boys Over Flowers is geared more towards females. Because there's more emotion in it.
Right.
And then you have, so that is very specific. When I was looking up mangas, it's like, what type of manga do you want to read? Do you want to read a shoujo? And I'm probably not even pronouncing it right. You know, one that's
shoujo, that sounds about right.
Geared towards women, a little more emotional. Do you want one that's geared towards boys, a little more action? They're all different. And so the reason why I spent a lot of time on that is because I thought that was important because I read a lot of comments where people like, they didn't like it. They don't like the movie, the drama. They don't get the the acting. People were saying John Dee's acting is not very good.
Yeah.
And it's just too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you made comments about, well, this is a manga.
Right.
This is why it's written this way.
Exactly.
But we didn't know that when we watched it. And I remember going back, when I think back watching mm-hmm. it, I took all of that as this is a different culture that I didn't know because I didn't know anything about Korean culture when I started watching Korean dramas.
Right.
And so you know how they do that strong back of the throat sound when they want to emphasize something?
Mm.
Have you noticed that? They go, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, what is that? And it took me a while to be okay with all that
mm-hmm.
because at first I was like, oh, that's weird. Do I not like it? Is that too different? And then I just embraced it all. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, well, we as English speakers here in America, we probably say things, we make a little more, when we say certain words, maybe we say it in a certain way to emphasize
definitely.
The meaning.
We definitely have our own sets of sounds that go along with our vernacular, yeah.
So that's what I was thinking when I started watching Korean dramas.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, okay, this is a style, and I love it. I loved it being different than what I'm used to, and like I said, I just embraced it.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really, that was my first drama. So I didn't have any other drama to compare it to.
Okay. I can see why you had a problem with this then. Yeah, for sure. Because this was not my first drama. My first drama was Faith.
Well, Faith didn't even do the same.
No, I get it. That's why I'm saying it's like, it was, to me, it was so much easier to just look at it as just another series. Like, this is not representative of Korean culture necessarily. It's like, it didn't even occur to me to think that way.
Now that I remember having all these thoughts. And I had nobody to talk to. Well, I had my aunts.
Yeah.
I did talk to them a little bit about it. But I was still reconciling it in my own head. Mm-hmm. Like, I was thinking, okay, well, there's a lot of things, American movies that we really don't do, but they overemphasize, like Legally Blonde.
Of course, yeah. I mean, that's what makes a drama or a movie, yeah.
And when she acts like just really, I don't know, silly or throws her hair, or that Valley Girl talk, you know, from mm-hmm. California,
right.
Southern California. And I thought, well, that's how Boys Over Flowers is.
Yes.
Now that I think about it and I'm talking to you about it,
mm-hmm.
I'm remembering that those are all the things I was saying to myself.
Mm.
Like, this show, you know, the way she's acting, the way she's walking into the school all kind of like knees buckling, you know,
right.
how she walked kind of silly. And then her emotions, her eyes and her lips when she makes certain things. And I thought, oh, okay, it's just like watching one of our movies where they just kind of overdo it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a completely different culture. So I will just embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have a problem watching this first episode. I didn't want to finish it.
Yeah.
I remember calling my aunt saying, I can't get into this. Like, I can't quite remember my feelings, but I'm sure it's all the things that I was reconciling, that I just talked to you, that I just told you about.
Right.
I'm sure it was all those things. And she had said, just keep watching it. You're going to love it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I'll do it just to have stuff to talk about with, you know, with my aunts.
Mm-hmm.
And
your Nunas.
Yeah. And so anyways, I know I talked a lot about all that, but I just read a lot of reviews.
Mm.
And people did not like it for a lot of those reasons.
Right.
That, you know, and that's how I dealt with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand everything they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my interpretation when I was watching.
Right. You know, and so, like I said, I have a different, you know, trajectory on this. Because, you know, folks, just in case you haven't figured it out, right, it's like we Alice and I, we have both watched it, right? And so we're going to review this one. We're going to have a little bit of a different format for this. But and just in talking about it and reminiscing and everything, and I'm thinking of, like I said, my first series was actually Faith, right? And it had, you know, Eamon Ho in it. And I was, you know, I was excited because it was a medieval time fantasy adventure mm-hmm. type of deal. And so I was just like, I was, you know, they had me at fantasy adventure, right? It's like sword fighting, magic, you know, time travel. I was in, all in, right? And then the next one we watched was City Hunter, again with Eamon Ho. And I'm just like, you know, and I'm like, okay, cool, I get it. And I really like this dude. Like, Eamon Ho is definitely the center of our Korean drama universe, right?
Well, we fell in love with him with our first episode, Me with Boys Over Flowers, and then we watched...
Yeah, Faith, right?
And we both fell in love with the show. Or what is it,
The Good Doctor? Or, you know, it's like...
It wasn't called Faith when we watched it. Yeah, so it's such a hard for us.
I think some people will know it as The Good Doctor. But anyway, I'm saying all of that to say... Right. Is that so when I watch Boys Over Flowers, so I'm three dramas in now and I'm all in on Eamon Ho. Right. Okay. And I really actually use this as a test for myself because, look, let's just be real about it. Right. It's like watching Korean dramas is not the most masculine thing in the United States. Let's just say it like that. And so, you know, those first two were really... They didn't question my masculinity at all. Like I could still be a man and say I watch Faith, or be masculine and say I watch Faith and City Hunter. But I'm like, yo, I'm really kind of digging this. I'm not afraid of a romantic comedy or anything like that, and I'm definitely very secure in who I am as a man. And so, you know, I know I'm very feminine, and I'm okay with that. Or I like very feminine things, let's just say it like that. And so when I watched this, I was kind of like, yo, am I really going to be into K-dramas, right? The whole romantic drama, you know, rom-com, all of this stuff. And when I watched this, I just remember going, I'm all in. Like, you know.
What was it? Because, I mean, this is a high school.
I know. And that even made it almost like more compelling to me. Like, I'm down with this. I am really down with watching the world from a very different perspective, from a different cultural perspective, absorb all of those things. And yet at the same time, you know, just kind of understanding that, you know, the world writes. Like, we're all concerned about a lot of the same things, right? And so I was really able to just get into, and I'm going to tell you, it's like, and probably, I'm going to tell you what, I will tell you the biggest thing for me. And it's going to sound really weird for folks who are really like into the whole masculine feminine thing. But if this is the first one that you listen, this might sound weird to you, but if you listen to other stuff, you know that I have no problem with saying that Eamon Ho is a good looking ass dude. Like, that dude is good looking. And I, as a person in the United States, we do not get to see good looking Asian men who get the girl, right? It's like, that's not our thing here. As a matter of fact, in the United States, the Asian men are depicted as very nerdy and or very feminine and or like just definitely not the sexual object. I mean, we got Jackie Chan, right? We had even Jet Li, both of them badasses, but they were not sex objects, right? The only dude who ever pulled off in the United States being a sex object was Bruce Lee. But Bruce Lee had to write his own films and make his own films in order for him to be portrayed as a sex object because in the United States, they covered his face in The Green Hornet. And so until he started making his own films and everything, he wasn't able to be the center, right? He wasn't able to be that guy. And so when I'm looking at this, I'm like, yo, these are Asian men being men. And yet still crying. That was really cool. I still think that that's one of the coolest things about it. And it was just so dope to me that the imagery was so different that I was just like, yo, I need to see some more of this. I need to see more because, you know, again, if this is the first one you're listening to, But I'm Black and Japanese. And so, you know, being Black and being people perceiving me as Black, you know, I've never had anyone question my masculinity, if you would. But I know that, you know, my folks that are multiracial mixed with Japanese is like those kind of things they get, you know, not, unless they actually do know karate or kung fu or some martial art or something like that. You know, the idea is that they're going to be nerds or something like that. And I'm like that, like I said, this was so new to me. So I was just like, so when I saw this one, I was just like, there's four badass dudes in here. And I'm like, let's go. Yeah. Let's see this. Let me really just sit here and absorb this.
I feel the same way as you do. And I remember having a friend. She's Caucasian. Mm. And when I started getting into those Korean dramas, we would go for walks and she would talk about her shows. And I would tell her what I'm watching and she just couldn't understand it. I'm like, oh my God, these guys are so handsome. And I would show her pictures. I'm like, this is the guy I'm watching right now or something. Mm-hmm. And she, I think typical American, mm-hmm. maybe even typical American white woman from the South.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
she was like, ooh, Asian men are not attracted. I'm not attracted to Asian men at all.
Yeah.
And
that's a very quick and easy thing to say in the United States because of how we portray Asian yes, men, right?
Yes. And I loved getting, I'm like, ooh, there's another whole, like,
there's another whole world just opened up to me of fine ass Asian men. Yes.
I know. That's how I felt. I was like, dang. And so I told you, I've mentioned it multiple times mm-hmm. about taking my mom and my aunts to the Korean market.
Yeah.
And my mom's like, I didn't see no good looking Asian men here. They're all old. And I was like, oh my God, mom, Brad Pitt doesn't go shopping at the grocery store.
Yeah.
You are not going to go to the grocery. I was a little disappointed myself too, but I had to like, mom, you're not going to see, you know, these gorgeous, young,
yeah.
good-looking men grocery shopping. Even though we did see Lee Min Ho in The King grocery shopping, right?
We did.
All of that to say, this thing opened up to us a new world.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
By watching this.
Mm-hmm.
And again, and you have mentioned, I mean, you're a sociologist, so this is stuff you pay attention to.
Yes.
And over time, you have mentioned to me, we've talked about it many times, there's this totem pole of men and racially where they stand sexually. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On the totem pole.
On sexual attractiveness. Yeah.
Like, you're not making that up, right?
I'm not making that up. It's actually well researched.
Okay.
Yeah.
That Asian men on the bottom.
Asian men. So this was actually researched, right? And it said the least desirable.
The reason why I say that because I'm always getting on Bruce for making stuff up.
Yes, she does, because there's times I theorize about something and
I'm not even sure he has a PhD from USC.
I do, though. And even if I was just making it up,
you can,
because
you
have my
letters.
PhD. I could do that. I could do this work. But it was actually researched, and one of the dating sites, and this is pretty much universal across the dating sites, is that the least desirable man to date ethnicity-wise or race-wise is mm-hmm. Asian men. Period. Point blank. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Knowing that also going into this.
From a United States perspective, by the way. I'm not saying that that's the same in other countries.
Man, that's probably going to change, huh? I think they're making their way
up
the rungs.
I'm going to tell you. It's like the
awesome.
K-pop revolution,
I'm
right?
I'm so
Korean
excited
dramas
about that.
I don't think Korean dramas are going to do it. Korean dramas may start doing it a little bit for people who are attracted to Asian men. Let's just say it like that. I was about to overly gender that. But I think K-pop really is, I think it has more of the ability to change our perceptions of Asian men. Because in these Korean dramas, it's like you got these Asian men and they're like crying and stuff like that. And so it's like, you know, it still conflicts a bit with our United States understandings of masculinity and portrayals of masculinity.
We still
However,
don't like to see a man cry here?
Oh, we still don't like to see a man cry. It has to be a thing. Like, it has to be like a climactic moment in a movie
and just, like,
or something.
One tear.
and like one tear and rolling
that's
down.
It. Yeah. That's all you get.
That's not what you see in Korean dramas, right? It's like, I kid you not, I think in Boys Over Flowers, we're going to get into a space where it's like every episode, one of these dudes is going to be crying. You know, it's like, I remember that, like seeing them cry so much. I'm like, damn, like they crying a lot here. Like I said, I still thought it was really cool. I also did
read something a while back that was kind of done on purpose. That is not a cultural thing, but they are doing that to kind of change cultural, perspective of men and being able to be emotional.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily culturally.
Hypermasculinity has ruined the world. I'm going to tell you that. And that's something that, you know, the United States we're dealing with in a lot of different ways. But you know, cultures are, we have to all come to, you know, to reckon with hypermasculinity. That is a real concept. It's, you know, and everything, and just saying, it's not being masculine that's necessarily the problem. Masculine exists, but it's like being hyper masculine, thinking that men are better. Being masculine has to be this huge over the top displays. That gets men killed. I mean, literally, I mean, men not crying kills men, right? I mean, literally kills men, because, you know, the only emotion that we're, you know, hypermasculinity tells us the only emotion that we can really show is anger. But as a poet, I know that anger is a secondary emotion. Anger is always built on pain or fear and things like that. And so, you know, we are angry, but we don't ever deal with our pain or our fear or our problems. And so then that literally kills you, right? It's like you see these men with the, you know, drinking themselves, doing stupid stuff and winding up killing themselves, either in a short manner of time or a long, you know, or over a long period of time, and getting, you know, cirrhosis of the liver and stuff like that because they're self-medicating and everything. And so this hypermasculinity thing is it's a huge deal, right? And more countries are dealing with that. But I do think that K-pop, just because of like the displays, the dancing and everything like that, it's so much more like hip hop. And so it's like the men in those spaces. To? Yeah, the men in those spaces are a bit more. They're more easy to digest.
It's so funny that we would think dancing, a man dancing, is masculine, but it's because probably it came from the hip hop culture.
Yeah, those are two. It's really funny that it's because, again, research has shown us, but I think even our just common sense observations would tell us, it's like in hip hop, dancing is masculine, right? It's like men dance and battled, especially back in my day and everything like that. It's like, and a lot of people of culture, in Latin America, the most masculine men are the ones that can dance really well. Like the best dude in the space is going to be the dude who can dance the best, in a lot of these club situations and everything. And so all across the world, men of color dance. I'm just going to put that out there. While white men, for whatever reason, has been like, okay, you're a white dude and you dance, you're gay. And it's like, which is so wrong on so many levels. And yet that is such a thing. It is such a thing. In the United States and other
white men dancing.
Well, it's not even just in the United States. It's across the world. White men dancing. Now, there's certain types of dancing or whatever that are definitely more on the, you know, where people will consider that.
Were you
going to
say we watched that British movie?
Yeah, we watched a British movie about some kid who wanted to do like ballet dancing or something like that.
Yeah, nobody wanted to. Oh, what was it called? Okay, it was his name. It was the name of the character.
Yeah.
But I can't remember.
And so I'm just saying, so those are some real images of guys who are probably, like I said, for the United States context, it might be a little bit more palatable. They are skinny still, though. But skinny can work, right? Skinny can work if you're athletic, everything like
dancers
that.
Dancers have some of the best bodies.
Yeah, and so anyway, I went off, but
you sure did. I think we both did, but this really brings a lot of emotion out to us. I mean, like I said, it was our first drama, so it was getting accustomed to the culture.
Mm-hmm.
It was a manga. which we didn't, you know, that bring another whole layer of it.
Yeah. So everything in this is like over the top. That's what, yes, that's what that means. Right. And so the acting is over the top. Right. And so it's not. Yeah. And so if you don't understand that about this,
and
the situations that they're in are absolutely ridiculous. Therefore, right, if you can accept that, that this is not, you know, a documentary on Korean culture and that this is really written over the top, then you should be able to enjoy this the way that we did.
So.
Are we actually going to talk about the movie yet?
I think so. Let's get into the characters real quick. Like Bruce said, we're going to do a little different format.
Yes.
Than usual.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that'll help because this has 25 episodes.
Right.
So we are not going to go episode by episode. We'll bunch a few together.
Yeah.
This will be the only one.
We're going to give you a value pack, folks. Yeah. But this first one, we're going to go all in. But, you know, after this one, we're going to bunch a few together.
There was just so much to talk about. Oh, I've been wanting to do this. Bruce and I didn't know how to do Boys Over Flowers because we had already watched it and we thought we only wanted to do new episodes coming out because it would take away from us already knowing the end.
Right.
But this is such a popular one. People are still watching it.
Yeah. And so our followers on Instagram, and if you don't follow us on Instagram, go to Instagram, follow us at TalkKDramas. At TalkKDramas and everything. But, our followers, they're like watching this, right? People like, and people, they'll talk to us. Anytime people ask me about, so which one should I watch? It's like, well, what do you want to start with? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, look, don't watch it first. Don't watch Boys Over Flowers first. I don't tell young people to watch Boys Over Flowers first. I think they got to get a little bit more invested in the genre a bit, before doing that. But yeah.
I think this is a great one for young kids.
Oh, I agree.
Maybe I might take that back. I don't know.
But not to start. If you're gonna just start K-dramas and you're young, I don't know if they'll like the bullying that's happening.
Well, that's another thing we heard. Some the young, you know, it here in the United States, we are teaching the children from a very young age bullying is not okay.
Yeah, we have a massive anti-bullying campaign
in the United States.
It is huge.
And
we're trying to eliminate bullying, folks. That's what that means.
Yeah.
We're in the United States. We are trying to eliminate bullying.
I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm sure we will talk more about that when we get into the episode.
Right.
Let me talk about just the main characters.
Oh, yeah. Let's get it.
Obviously.
Eamon Ho. Are we starting with him?
Yes, but if you go to...
I have a pillow of him.
You do.
Alice bought that for me.
If you go to talkkdramas.com, you could print out a drama sheet and it has their pictures. It'll help you with the names to refer back when you're watching. But yes, our favorite, Eamon Ho, he's going to play Goo Jun Pyeol. And you will never forget that name. I don't know how many times John D says it. You just won't forget.
What? Jun Pyeol? Yeah.
We'll never forget that name.
And I can't even remember Jondi's name. Every time I see her in other stuff, I just say that's Jondi.
Yeah.
Like that's how powerful this character was for me.
Okay. So he's kind of the leader of this F4 group, which is like the most popular group at this private school. Mm-hmm. I think his parents even own it. Shinhwa High.
Oh, are we trying to go into detail now? Because
I'm just talking about the characters.
It is the company that he is the sole inheritor.
He's the successor
of.
To
yes,
this
he's the
company.
Successor of the Shinhwa Group. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny because in a scene when they're talking about him, they'll say even 3-year-old kids know his name.
Yeah.
So he is the big deal.
He is also the love
interest here. We have John.
One of them.
Mm-hmm. We have John D. And she's played by Gu Hai Seon. Yep. I read somewhere she was like 25 when she portrayed John D.
Yeah.
She was born in 1984. She's also, again, we talk about Angel Eyes all the time and Blood. That is a vampire movie.
Yes, that was
the
vampire one that we watched.
Mm-hmm.
I like that
one. She was a nurse.
I like that one. I didn't like the ending. It was horrible. But yeah.
Was she a nurse?
No, she was not a nurse. She was a doctor.
the other maybe love interest is played by Kim Hoon Jung.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Jihoo.
Jihoo!
You always remember
that's
his
my dude. He's the dude. I like that dude. That's my dude right there.
I think he also is in a boy band or was in a boy band. He's in Playful Kiss, which I love that movie. I don't think you watched it. It's a cute little high school. Yeah. Another little high school. Wasn't as popular, but it was cute. And the girl that played his love interest is so cute. And she had the cutest little hair. Every time she'd go to school, mm-hmm. her hair would be so cute. And I'd try to copy it. Like do it on Alana.
Oh,
it was just so cute. It was just very cute.
I did not watch Playful Kiss with you.
My mother watched it and she loved it.
Yeah, you went on your own on some of these. Uh-huh. I did want to watch, but anyway.
It's cute. He was in a 2015 scandal with him and his girlfriend.
Mm.
Apparently she was pregnant, lied about a miscarriage. I don't know. It gets dark.
Yeah.
You can look that up if you want to read more about him. We have Kim Bum. I think you like him too.
Yeah.
He plays...
Oh, yeah.
That plays Lee Jung.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also in Hidden Identity, which we liked.
Yes.
We liked a lot.
Yeah.
Right?
Hidden Identity was a gritty detective drama. It did not have really a love interest in there. And so, you know, just putting that out there for folks. But if you want, you know, gritty police drama, it was definitely good for that.
Mm-hmm. And then the last main male in this F4 group is played by Kim Jun.
Mm-hmm.
He plays Song Woo-bin.
Yes.
We said we're going to call him Ruben. But I'm guessing we're not going to talk too much about him. I don't remember him being a big...
He's just this cornball side character. He's like the mice in Cinderella. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, it's really just like lightning action. There's nothing. There's not a whole bunch that goes around him.
Yeah,
for the whole series. We get I think he gets like one episode where you kind of go in a little bit.
But after that, it's done. It's really done. That's kind of too bad because I kind of wish they would have. It just seemed like he was just like a hangnail. Just hanging there. Because that was kind of bad. Okay.
All right, keep going. So we're not going to run off. Well, I mean, even though he has so many and everything, I just, there was one that I wanted to, it's like I was waiting for the rundown of Even Ho movies and stuff. Because
we talk about them all the time.
Yeah, we pretty much watched almost all of them.
Except for the...
There's one with a mermaid.
Yeah, Blue something.
It's the same woman that played on the My Alien from Another Star or something like that.
I like her.
And so... you like her in Hyena too, right? And so
she's not in Hyena.
I thought you said she was in Hyena.
No, she's in something else. But
okay. But anyway, it's so. Anyway, I was going to talk about like the Inheritors. I really liked the chemistry with Park
Shin-hye.
Shin-hye, yeah. But anyway,
I know we spent so much time. This is going to be a long episode. Let's just kind of go over really quick. We've already said there's this, it starts off talking about the Shinhwa group.
Yeah.
When I started watching Korean dramas, I realized all the ones that I was watching, there was always very wealthy business.
Yeah.
And the heir to the business, I guess, is called a chaebol.
Yeah.
That was a big thing.
Let's get it, love. Let's use your big words. Let's go. Let's get it.
So a lot of the dramas I was watching, it was the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was some woman trying, you know, and some wealthy billionaire.
Yeah.
Chaebol,
yeah.
Right?
Billionaire. Yeah.
I haven't seen too many of those dramas coming up lately.
I think they're starting to flatline on those things.
I think so,
right?
Too. Because they just did them. They are. I mean, they.
Well, they overdid. They overdid the space, and so don't be surprised if they come back. It's kind of like zombie movies, for crying out loud. It's like,
if that's their culture, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the culture where there's a lot of wealthy businessmen and everybody's, you know,
I don't think it's the culture. It's just a story that keeps getting told over and over. And it's this drama, right? And so it's like, you know, it's kind of like watching a soap opera and always seeing a spy. It's like, you know, it's just part of the drill, right?
So you have these four guys. Like I said, they're part of this F4. They're like the most famous, probably the wealthiest.
Flower Boys or something like, yeah.
F4 group. And so real quick, they tell you each one of these characters. Wubin, the guy we're not going to talk about too much, he's an heir to a construction enterprise. Mm-hmm. His father is like a real estate, you know,
tycoon.
Something like that, yes. And then you have Yi Jung.
Mm-hmm.
He's that pottery genius guy. I think he also, does he own like a museum or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Jihu.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that you like. His is a little bit sad. And I wonder if that makes him a little more down to earth because both his parents died in a car accident. This mm-hmm. is his character.
Right.
His father was also a past president.
Mm-hmm.
He was a former president. Both his parents died in a car crash. He was 5 years old. But he's very wealthy. I mean, in his own right, he owns an art center. He owns a soccer team, a major league baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys are like filthy.
Filthy rich. Yes.
And then you have Jun Pyor, who, you know, his parents, huge conglomerate.
Yeah.
This
was the part that I didn't understand in the beginning because, you know, since this is written off of a manga, mm-hmm. right? It's like you don't, it's kind of like thinking about Gotham. Right. It's like I'm thinking about Batman and setting up Gotham City.
Mm-hmm.
And that Gotham City is supposed to be reminiscent of New York. Right. But the dynamics of it are very different. There's different kinds of folks in it. And so that's what they're doing with Shinhwa. Shinhwa does not exist. It's like when I first watched it, I'm like, yo, is Shinhwa like a real thing? You know, like I said, this is so over the top, right? It's like Shinhwa had basically taking the world by storm type of deal, and everything. And so it really is, you know, just setting up a really big dynamic of, you know, and, you know, I know I'm talking a lot about, you know, the sociology and the cultural, you know, parts of this. Is that I keep on thinking of like what you have to do, and I wish I knew more about the Japanese manga. I'm mm-hmm. looking forward to reading it.
Ooh.
About this because I'm really looking forward to trying to figure out what the differences were between the manga and the movie, right? The Boys Over Flowers, the Korean, you know, what we've been watching, because you know any of those changes, right? Are going to reflect the differences in the culture, right? Because we've done this before with other movies. In the United States, we took Seven Samurai, a Japanese super like movie. Like this was like one of the top movies of you know in Japanese history, right? But then in the United States, we make the same movie and we call it Magnificent Seven. And it winds up being a Western, right? The samurai movie winds up becoming a Western. So anyway, I'm saying all of that to say I'm looking forward to reading that book so I can look too. At the yeah. differences of what's going on and really think about it. Because, you know, it's like, look, I am Japanese, but I don't know a whole bunch about Japanese culture except for what I've seen on TV and, you know, read in the book. But anyway, like I said, I'm intrigued to see why they did certain things the way that they did it.
Okay. Me too. I'm excited. We should get it next week.
Excellent.
I would definitely post it on Instagram when we get it.
Yeah.
I just don't know if we can
afford it. How many books are in the series?
30-something. I don't know if we can afford it.
How much did it cost?
Well, like 20 bucks. But maybe if you can find some. It was used. Maybe if you find a pack of them, it might be cheaper.
Okay.
If we enjoy it, it would be so cool to have that series.
I want you to give me that series.
Okay. So
please, that'll be my birthday present.
Okay, I'd like to have it too. The kids probably might like to read it too. We will see. This the first episode starts off with John Dee trying to deliver some dry cleaning.
Yes. Yeah.
And we get a taste of the F4 and what they're capable of. Mm-hmm. Because if you get one of the, if they issue you one of their red cards, you're done. And the bullying is so bad.
Yeah.
That, and it's not even necessarily done by them. It sounds like they have their little goons in the school that will do the bullying for them.
Yeah.
And
honestly, I think the whole school is kind of pretty much in on it.
You're right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I think so. And so it starts off with, you know, and we see exactly what the F4 guys are capable of, because this guy is about to jump off a building.
Mm-hmm.
And John Dee is up on the roof. Because this is this guy's laundry she needs to deliver. And that's all she cares about.
Right.
Is delivering his laundry and getting her money.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you'll need to bill my parents because, you know.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm jumping off. And she saves him. How she did that. Again, I heard you talking to the kids about. It's a manga.
So over the top. Yeah. It is, yeah.
There's no way. I was thinking she would have fell right over with him.
Yeah. She can't possibly weigh more than 110 pounds. That is a full grown boy, you know, high schooler.
Jumping off.
So what? At least 150 pounds?
Okay. Like, but let's not get into all that. Let's enjoy
it. But that's exactly the kind of, if that already bothered you, then you're off on the wrong track.
Yes.
You're off on the wrong track. You have to accept that in order to keep on going with this.
So because of that, it's, you know, of course, it's in social media. It's on all the newspapers. Mm-hmm. Shinhwa doesn't want the bad press.
Mm-hmm.
We get introduced to June Pure's mother.
Oh, I like the mom.
She is a force. We will get to know her later.
Yeah.
So they decide to give her a swimming scholarship to go to the school.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to, but you know her parents. I mean, this is a big deal. I think college in general in South Korea is a big deal. You got the entrance exams. I mean, they're one of the highly educated, you know, countries that have the most educated people, to the point where I think it's hard to find a job because everybody's so educated.
Mm-hmm.
I remember reading that somewhere.
Yeah. Well, that was when we were watching Coffee Prince, and I don't know why those two things are connected, but we were watching it and you started digging in like, you know, a lot of these dudes or a lot of the citizens they're so well educated that they can't find a job. And so you start these small little businesses. And so you see a lot of, you know, small businesses being run by highly educated folks. And it's like, oh,
you're right. I remember reading like it would be good to have a trade. Because everybody has a college degree. But the status of going to college and a good college, and it's a big deal.
Right. Yeah, I know. They make sure that they, you know, dig in on that one. It's like the entrance exams are so hard and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't want to go because she's already has a taste of what this school is about. She's disgusted. Oh, yeah. She's disgusted with it.
Yeah.
And it's cute. I mean, you'll see the parents, the family. And again, it's a little bit over the top, a little extreme. Her parents, you know.
Yeah.
It almost looked like a TV show, background.
I was wondering if you picked up on that because I remember when we watched it the first time, we were watching it on my laptop, and I guess I didn't get the image, now we're watching on our, you know, high def TV and stuff. And it was like the way it was shot was even playful and intrigued, just like a playful, like comic bookish type of style. And so, so I noticed that this time around, I was like, oh, this is what it really looked like and everything. But anyway.
Yeah, that took a little bit getting used to. The scene, the parents at home, that took a little used to. But, you know, parents, I was like, you know, parents can go all in. I mean, look at the big scandal we just had.
Big time with U.S. Well, it wasn't just USC, but
famous people were paying lots of money,
of thousands of dollars, to get their kids into these
like give them fake sports scholarships.
Yep.
You know, the famous people.
Yeah, in order to get them into these Ivy League schools. Yeah.
So, you know, parents are crazy. They will do that.
Oh, yeah. And so these parents, the way these parents were acting did not bother me at all. It was like,
we would be excited.
We would be telling our kids to go. If one of our kids got a full ride to, you know, because Alana, she plays basketball and there's a local, relatively local, like big time basketball high school, if you would. That's private super school. Private. Yeah, that's a private school. And if she got a ride there, you know, she got a full ride there. Shoot, I'm like, do you need a ride?
I think that's so funny that you're talking about that school because they have shuttles. They have shuttles.
How rich they are. Yeah,
we met somebody, and because the school is maybe with traffic and stuff, 45 minutes, an hour away.
Oh, yeah.
Traffic in the morning. And I was like, we met somebody that went there and we were like, oh my gosh, she goes, you know where she goes? She's high school. And ask her, how do you get there? Your parents driving you every day? She's like, no, I get the shuttle. Like they have a shuttle that'll come this way to pick up. And they have a private chef. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, I say that just because this school also has, we'll see them when they go into the lunch, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Cafeteria, whatever you want to call it.
And you see Jondi eating her own food.
I know.
And those girls are just like clowning her. They're just like, what's that nasty smell?
You're going to eat that when we have that, but it's like $50 a plate.
Yeah, she was like, I can't afford $50 for lunch.
What? That's dumb. If they gave her a scholarship, you would have thought they would have gave her a food. What do they call them? A food pass?
Food allotment or something. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Meal card. Yeah, you would think, but...
Anyways.
It added to the drama.
Anyways, the school we were talking about, not to give out any names, because we don't want anybody to come after us, because we know somebody that went there to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember.
I remember.
He was saying, he was impressed. He said, this school is up on like a hill. It's gated. He goes, all the kids leave their laptops and all their stuff all over the ground because I think everyone gets one free. So it's not even a big deal.
Yeah.
He's like, how is somebody going to just leave their, you know... their iMac right there.
Yeah.
And then he told us that a lot of these kids are from like gangster mafia.
Yeah.
And he's like
mafia kids and stuff.
Yeah,
like
and he's
that,
like, that's why they got it locked. Because they don't want anybody getting in after these kids.
Yeah.
So
I mean, and the tuition is like $30,000 a year or something like that. It's a lot. But
okay.
That's how that goes.
Where are we? We introduced the F4. We have Jondi and she's going to be going to the school.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets her first introduction to the F4. So they're like in the foyer.
Yeah.
They show up and, and then you see them how they get to school. Remember how she gets to school? Oh my gosh. So they're driving up with like all their little drivers and then her dad pulls up in his Jondi dry cleaning van and he's even dressed. He looks like a chauffeur.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he drops her off and then the music, like an ice cream truck man goes off. She's so embarrassed. So she walks up into the school and it's kind of like a foyer, like the entrance. And then here comes the F4 and Jinpur gets dropped off by a helicopter.
Yes.
That is everything is just so
extra,
but is that true? If you are a child of a billionaire, it would be nothing for you to get dropped off in a helicopter if that's possible.
Yeah.
I mean,
why not?
I know. So I'm thinking, yeah, this is stuff I can't even relate to, but I'm just going to go with it.
Right, right.
Like Crazy Rich Asians.
Mm.
Like it's stuff you're just like, okay, whatever. But I'm looking at it as like, wow, some people really do live like this.
Oh, yeah.
Like this their life. I remember because I read all three of the first three of his books. I don't know if there's a fourth one, but I read an article about him and he said Kevin Kwan, I think, that wrote those books. He said... there's stuff I couldn't even write about. My publisher told me not to put them in there, you know, like take this stuff out because nobody's going to believe it.
Right.
And I was like, I couldn't even imagine. So
getting... You're like, everything that he wrote was so over the top. I know. You're like, I can't believe this. And you're saying there's more?
A fish. He wrote about a relative who had plastic surgery on their fish's eye. Maybe had a little droopy eye. Mm. A little lazy eye. Might have had a little lazy eye. Wow. So they had to get it. But yeah. So can you imagine? So you watch these things and you're like, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. There's stuff we can't even imagine.
Right.
They won't even tell us because why? It would just be over our head.
Exactly.
And so anyways, I saw him get dropped off from a helicopter and I went, okay. The hard part though that I couldn't get with was his little ringlet curls.
You weren't down with the perm?
No.
You were not down with the perm.
I was like, no. Come on. No. No. No.
I thought the perm was dope. I'm not gonna lie. I like the perm. I understand
the helicopter. A little bit the furry coat thing, and I'm like, well, in Korea it's probably cold, so they, you know.
That was a later outfit, but yeah.
They may dress, mm-hmm. you know, like that because it's cold over there. We wore flip-flops.
That furry collar.
Oh, my God. That was a little much to me, but amazing.
That was amazing. No, see, the funny thing, this is the space that I pulled from. The space that I pulled from was that he looked like a pimp. So it was...
Hilarious. That's what we think here. If you're going to wear that here in Southern California, you are a pimp.
I was just like, yo, he looks like the dopest pimp ever. Like, that's the way it's like, look, being African-American and like all the blaxploitation movies and things like that and talking about.
That's why you loved it and you love those ringlet curls.
I'm telling you, it's like it wasn't such a big leap for me as a character and like his look and everything. And it's like I said, I just thought of him as a pimp, like Superfly or something like that. Like, I was just like, yo, that is so dope. Well, I would never wear that. But yo, he looks so good in that. Yeah, I mean,
you're almost like an entertainer.
Yo, remember that whole scene? It's like, you know, it's like if you want the very first one, because the fur collar one was a different scene. Like the very first time you saw him, he wore like it was like the, you know, some kids are coming up the stairs and they're like, yo, there's only two shirts that were imported from Japan. Mm. And I bought, you know, it's like, and when guess what? Junpyo has one. I got the other one. And it's like, right? Yeah. And I'm like, I kid you not. So I remember the scene, but I just remember to myself, like, how did he know about the shirt? Like, how did Junpyo, how did he know the shirt? I actually looked at it this time and I saw that his shirt had a little black square on the collar. And then Junpyo's shirt had a little black square on the collar. I'm like, that's how he was able to tell. I've been bothered by that for 7 years. I just thought it was just a regular white shirt. Yeah. And so I didn't even think to pay attention to like the collar or something like that. And so I saw it this time. I was like, yo, that's how he saw the jet.
That's why you spend so much. It had the designer's little, probably his little, you know.
Yeah, probably. Little. I mean, that's probably the thing, right? And so anyway, I just thought that was like,
he threw his... spilled his juice on.
Well, he didn't. He threw.
He poured. The there juice you go. That's him. The right word. Yes. That's another little. You know, we got to see him be
an jerk. Ass. Yeah, like a complete total jerk. Yeah. And for some reason, you know what? No, I'm going to tell you why. It's like I'm not even going to sit here and lie to you. Like, I've seen him in two series before I saw this one. And so if I would have saw this first, I think I would have been a little bit put off, if not a lot. But since I've already seen him as, you know, as a badass, you know, freaking Joseon era, you know, royal guard and everything like that. And then, you know, he comes in or, you know, then with a city hunter, you know, he's another badass. But this time he shoots guns. And so now I'm just kind of like, yo, he's still a badass.
But, yeah.
But he looks like a pimp. No, I had a good time. I had a good time watching this one.
I wonder what he would think. So this is Jondi's first experience of seeing him, and she's disgusted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Already. So the next thing I want to talk about, and it might get a little dark. Maybe I've had a few hours to settle down. Mm. I am going to talk about suicide.
Yeah.
So maybe if, you know, you don't, you might want to forward a little bit. But the three girls, like the three popular girls that mm-hmm. you see.
Yeah.
There's three of them. Sunny, Miranda, and Ginger. Ginger's the one, I think, that talks
She's
English.
She's in the middle.
Yeah. She's the one that kind of talks.
She's always the one that says, oh, my God.
Yeah. Yes, her. And then you have.
Which, like, again, right, that introduction. If you're not understanding that this is a manga and all of that stuff, their introduction was ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous. I thought it was so funny. But if you're thinking that this is supposed to be real, you know what I'm saying? It's like that should help you out.
How crazy like, that they were. This they is, acted.
Yeah, they're acting crazy. Yeah, it was just funny.
And I've seen that kind of when I was reading the Slam Dunk magazine. I've mm-hmm. seen the girls kind of go a little crazy and.
I mean, just the poses. I'm gonna say it's like they introduce themselves and they pose like Ginger. Yeah. You know, Miranda and Lifter, you know, it's like, yeah. I thought it was hilarious.
It's
was
funny. It's funny. Yeah. But so they're like the three popular girls. Well, I wanted to talk about Sunny. Her real name is Jang Jeonhyun.
Mm-hmm.
And she committed suicide March 7th.
Oh, Ginger?
No, Jang Jeonhyun. Sunny did. Not the one that talks English. Sunny's one of the
okay.
other.
So it was the second one. They got. Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was 27 years old. This happened in 2009. So, you know, I got up at 4 o'clock this morning. I just couldn't sleep. And I thought I'm going to just come over here. And I started in the office and I just started looking up. I remember there being a suicide
mm-hmm.
on this episode. One of the girls I remembered. And so I thought, I'm going to look that up and see if I was right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just took me down. I mean, it was like 5 o'clock. The next thing I know, it's 7:30. And I just went down this rabbit hole.
Right.
And I was just like, what in the world? All of a sudden, everything just got really dark.
Mm.
And like you just unveiled something, you know, a mystery or something. There have been so many, I'm sure, I think you know, so many suicides
mm-hmm.
among like K-pop and a lot of these Korean actors.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a really good article that I read in The Guardian by Kim Dae-o.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about that he has covered like at least 30 suicides.
Wow.
From actors and actresses and K-pop. And what was interesting at the article, the title of the article, it also said the blame game never change, you know, and it's so sad. I spent like a couple hours just reading about these different suicides and it just so sad. The pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's society, if it's the entertainment, but it got crazy, Bruce. I wanted to read about her suicide and what was wrong, you know, depression. She wrote the 7-page suicide letter and she talked about abuse by directors, media executives, CEOs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think back in 2009, they chalked it up to like her depression because her parents, you know, got in a car accident or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then they reopened the case like in 2018
mm-hmm.
because a lot of this is abuse started coming back up.
Right.
And then there's also one of her friends who said, you know, I can testify. I did see her get abused. It just, like I said, it just went down a deeper and deeper hole. If mm-hmm. this is something that interests you, you can look it up. I read about this article that I'm talking about in The Guardian.
Mm-hmm.
This journalist talked about being with this actress They were actually the actress was Jinsil. She was him and the actor actually went to the hospital because there had just been another suicide by an actor, Jae Hwan. And a couple days later, or actually maybe a couple months later, the actress that he was with committed suicide. And this was huge. She was like one of the most sought after Jinsil actresses. Gorgeous. Of course, they're all gorgeous, you know. Mm-hmm. Left two children behind.
Wow.
Her ex-husband was a Major League Baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
Couple years later, he committed suicide. Her brother committed suicide. Left two kids. It just, like I said, it just went deeper and deeper. I felt like I was a detective.
Wow.
Like, yeah. It just never ended. I don't know. And then there was the two K-pop girls that mm-hmm. passed. Did you know them? Yeah. Soli?
I don't know them, but I know of it.
In 2014.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were in the same band. And it's just the same. And it's bullying.
Mm.
Like cyberbullying or much social media bullying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having a hard time understanding it. But a lot of these, you know, people are young and they don't know how to handle. I mean, I don't know if anybody can ever handle being bullied and talked about. It's hard.
Right.
It's a hard thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember one of the actors from Winter Sonata. He committed suicide. Not the one with the glasses. If you remember, not the one that she fell in love with and thought passed away. It was the other guy.
Okay.
He committed suicide too.
Wow.
Like it doesn't stop. And so anyways, it just made it sad. There was I had a moment there where I was like, do I want a part of this?
Mm.
Like, is this, you know, these dramas? I mean, the South Korean entertainment industry, is it really healthy? Is this something we really want to, you know, I was struggling with that this morning.
Right.
And so anyways, I just, I don't know. I don't know what to say.
You know,
it was hard for me.
And I hear you and I understand, and I do not in any way, shape or form minimize the tragedy of suicide and, you know, the prevalence. I mean, it's prevalent in those spaces. What I would say is, one, it's not representative of Korean dramas or like the Korean scene, if you would, right? It would be like taking what happened to Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown, or even Michael Jackson.
You know, we see it here too, just not so
much.
Prince
and things like that. It's like I'm naming, you know, it's like I can name drop in these spaces also, right? And to say, is that representative of what's going on now? What I would say is representative of is that these folks are like creative geniuses. A lot of them are creative geniuses, and it's hard. It's hard to be that creative, that good, and to keep wanting to be more and better and things like that. And I really think that's what really took Michael Jackson down his rabbit hole, and everything. And so, you know, and I'm not a psychologist, I'm a sociologist. And so, but what I can just tell you is that it's part of the culture of the industry though. Right. Yeah. And so if you're going to watch movies, understand that there's a space, right? But now, you know, it's like, but this is why a lot of folks are really getting into more like independent films and things like that, because you pull it away from Hollywood. You're allowed to tell different stories. You're allowed to tell your own stories. You're allowed to be more creative and stuff like that. And so if that's a thing, right, then you need to go, you know, you need to move away from Hollywood, because Hollywood, and I don't think South Korea calls it any, and it's like just that space, right, of entertainment, it's going to have that is the, you know, it's like you're making a deal with the devil.
Well,
no matter who you are.
Because look at, we have the whole Me Too movement.
Yeah, absolutely. We have that here. And so,
but I did read that after Jinsil, after her suicide, the suicide rates went up 70%. I don't know where I read that, and that is just crazy.
I hear you.
Maybe within a group or something.
Yeah,
I don't know, but Anyways, yeah, let's move on.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it's like, like I said, I think we all understand that there's amazing pressure in that space, right? And mm-hmm. to get to that space, it's a blessing and a curse. And so, but that's also what's compelling about it. And for the people who can keep it together and stay healthy and stay married and stay whatever.
Yeah, there are a few.
You know, it's like, it's like I said, it's part of the story. To me, it's part of the story and it's worth telling. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I'm not going to think that this is representative of Korean entertainment or South Korean entertainment. Yeah.
So what I like is that Jeondi calls herself a justice girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like we see that when she's talking to her best friend at mm-hmm. her job, and her friend's like, you know, what happened to justice girl? I don't know exactly what she said.
Yeah, it was something like
because
that.
Because she's like, remember girl. When you saved me from the kindergarten, mm-hmm. I don't know, teacher, he's this and that. So Jeondi's always been about fairness.
Right.
But she is having a hard time with them because we see a couple times where she wanted to say something to Junpyeol.
Yeah.
Like when he smashed the cake into the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that scene where she's telling him off, but then she, you know.
It was in her head. Yeah. Yes. That was dope. Oh, my goodness. I was like, I was so impressed. And then it wound up being a scene in her head.
I know. I was like, oh, I know.
Come on, girl. Come on.
She'll fight. She'll do it. I like how she gets introduced to Jihoo. So she first sees him because she's on the way to the pool mm-hmm. and he's playing his violin.
Yes.
And then we see again where she's out on like the stairwell mm-hmm. and she's screaming. That's where she goes, you know, to get all her.
To vent.
Yes. Yeah. And it's just so cool because you really do get to know a little bit about him, his personality because she's screaming out. Junpyeol and how she hates and he's there sleeping. And I think it happens twice. Is it happened twice?
On the stairwell, yes. At least twice.
And you know, and he doesn't like condemn her
mm-hmm.
or anything. He just like Junpyeol. Like say his name, if you know the person that you hate, at least you can do is say his name right.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know? And I kind of feel like he probably totally agrees with her. It's like, yeah, he's a jerk, but
we actually get evidence of that later on. But yeah, we'll wait for it.
And so then you're kind of starting to like him.
Oh yeah, Jihoo, I liked him immediately.
He's the one with the orangey hair.
yeah, the orangey hair and wear. I think his thing is like to wear white almost all
is
the
it?
Time.
Okay.
Or whatever. Well, in this episode, I think we've seen him mostly in white. Yeah.
And then we see the lunchtime, but we did talk about that. She's eating her rice, egg, and spam. That looked good.
It looked
better than what they were eating.
It did. I ain't gonna lie. That looked delicious.
You know, you always get those girls. You always get the three popular or the few popular girls in the act.
The mean girls.
There you go.
You know
the
what?
Mean girls. That's what we should call them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, that's a movie also.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. And so, and it's funny because here I am, I teach my class and I have students, you know, go out and find media clips and about sociology and mm-hmm. whatever. I kid you not, I still get people who watch Mean Girls mm-hmm. and they'll use a clip off of Mean Girls in order to talk about some sociological concept. And I'm just like, how many of y'all have watched Mean Girls? And over half the students.
I think it was a big deal.
Yeah, no, it's still a big deal because these students have not. It's like when that movie was made, they were like five, if that, you know. And you know, this is a
mean
young
Girls
Lindsay Lohan.
Is a thing.
Yeah,
be mean.
It's a cult. It's a cult classic, and so I don't expect. People to stop watching that movie anytime soon.
It's a sad thing.
It's sad. It's real. I mean, because every school has their set of mean girls.
And it's so sad because you know they're hurting
mm-hmm.
because of something.
Indeed.
Alana and I just watched To All the Boys I Loved.
Mm-hmm.
Which I love, love, love. There's two of them. I just love it. I love the movie.
Okay.
And there's a mean girl. But at the end, which was so awesome, it was because there was some jealousy there. There was some pain.
Yeah.
There. And I was so glad that they got to heal that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think is just maybe the high schools could do a better job is trying to heal some of these girls.
Mm-hmm.
If they could.
Well, they heal people, period. But
yeah. I know. But ones that are hurting other people, I think.
You know, in the United States, we just do a really bad job. We acknowledge, it's like school is so supposed to, like, address, you know, your mind and everything. But I think our society now is really figuring out. I mean, because, you know, if you're listening to this on time, we're in quarantine mm-hmm. with COVID-19 and everything. And we're figuring out that school has as much to do, if not more, to do with socialization and mental and emotional well-being as it does education.
For some.
Right? I think for everyone.
Not if you're getting bullied.
That's my point. That if you're not, that's what it's for. And so if we focus on those things, then maybe we can eliminate or not eliminate the bullying. I don't think that'll ever happen, but reduce it and get people to really talk about, because bullies are hurting also.
I think they have it completely backwards. We keep telling our kids, you know, don't bully, don't bully, don't bully. But a lot of the bullying is being done at home.
Yep.
These kids don't know.
They're being socialized to be that way.
I'm thinking we need to teach kids to stop bullying. You know, don't stand, you know, stand up to it.
Right.
Say something.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking we should do, you know, because they need to be, you know, there's you're going to have difficult people all through life.
Yep.
You're not going to stop the bullying unless you go home and talk to the parents and have the parent, you know, whoever's bullying the child.
Right.
You know, and it reminds me of Carter. Remember when he kind of got bullied in high school and the kid wanted to beat him up and Carter stood, you know, I was very proud of him. And I was amazed that he was like, I'm going to stick up to him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stick up. Tim, and he did. And the guy, nothing ever really came about it.
Right. He backed down.
Yeah. Carter stood up, waited for him. It's like, I don't want to fight you. But Carter stood up and just said, you know, I'm not going to let you bully me.
Yeah.
For something stupid. And it definitely, we find out later, you know, he was having some trouble at home.
Yep. We did.
You know, so the kid.
That's normally the case.
Should have had counseling.
Oh, for sure.
Not just. You don't bully, we don't bully, because that doesn't tell the kids anything.
Yeah.
You don't teach them how not to be a bully if you're being bullied.
Right.
You need to teach them, you know, what to do if you're being bullied.
How to heal. Yeah. Right? Because it's like,
get help.
It's like telling someone to not bully is like telling someone to not walk with a limp. Without addressing why they're limping.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if I'm hurting, the limp is just a symptom of me being hurt. And so you telling me not to limp is not helpful.
It just doesn't make sense. Yeah. It doesn't help. So here we get introduced to Minji. It's going to be a friend of hers at the school.
Yes.
So if you have a drama sheet, you'll have to write her in. You could print out her picture if you wanted to. So we'll get a little more of her later. But, well, what does happen is they become friends. They are outside enjoying a cone.
Yes.
Ice cream.
Yeah.
And Minji falls, drops her ice cream cone on Junpyo's shoe.
Yeah.
Very expensive Italian shoe.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just expensive. I mean, it's like one of a kind, handcrafted.
That's what he said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, because she's like, I'll do anything, you know, whatever. What does she say? I'll buy you a new pair. And he's like, how are you going to get me a new pair?
It's like, are you richer than me?
I know.
These are original.
Rude.
You can't buy these. That's what he's trying to say. It's like, there's nowhere to go to buy these. That is so dope. I'm sorry. I'm really okay with the big pimping right now. I'm really okay with this. I don't know why I've been okay with this for so long. Anyway.
Well, so John D sticks up for her.
Well, she drops the ice cream on Junpyo's shoe, right? And he's like, lick it off.
Yeah.
Lick it. Oh, my goodness. And then that's where John D comes in.
Yeah. And he's like, well, if you know, do it for her and I'll lick my shoe or something.
Yeah. Cause John D is like, you know what? This is too much. You know, it's not like you did all of, it's not like she did it on purpose. It's like, you know, and it's like, look, if you need those cleaned, I know some places you can get those cleaned. And so whatever, right? It's like a simple apology should be enough if she's already apologized. And then, yeah, that's when he was like, well, you lick it then. That was good. I'm okay with this. I don't know why I'm okay with this. I am just okay with this, especially from what happens next.
Is this where she smashes it in his face?
Yes.
And I love it. And he can't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, and like I said, remember, it's a manga, over the top. And so she even like goes like, yeah, like, and smashes it in his face. And then he falls to the ground all dramatic and everything. And clearly just absolutely stunned that anyone would dare to stand up to him.
I love it. See, I'm so happy. That's exactly what he needed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, this is the baseline of John D's character, which, you know, so when I'm thinking about her character, it's like this is something that if you don't get it, mm-hmm. I think you need this part also, is that John D, it's like I really think that because now I've seen it in multiple spaces now with Korean, not only just dramas, but movies and stuff like that, where there's definitely this fear, if you would, of a rampant capitalism, and these wealthy people who they get so wealthy that they forget that the country is run, right? The country depends on common people, if mm-hmm. you would, right? I mean, we've seen, you know, part of that in Kingdom, we've seen that in, I saw that in Train to Busan. It's like this is a recurring theme. And so then, you know, and so, you know, John D's not all that smart, right? There's no reason why she's there at the school. She's not on an athletic scholarship. She's not smart. She's just fiery, mm-hmm. right? And that's the reason why it's like she saved that dude. That's the reason why she's there. She has a big heart. That's the only reason why she's like, she represents the people, mm-hmm. right? It's like, she's not gorgeous either. Cause I'm going to just say it flat out. Her friend at the restaurant would have had a way better time incorporating herself into this school because she is super cute, super cute. Johnny. No, I'm going to tell you what, Johnny's cute. But they made her look very plain, very bland, very normal,
That's funny that you say that.
And
it's
like, that's the, like, the juxtaposition, right? It's like the mega wealthy versus the commoner.
Yeah.
Like, that's, yeah. You know, it's like, if you don't get that and why, like, that's important and why this is, you know, like, it's like writing back Batman and the Joker. You know what I'm saying? It's like, they're so extreme from each other, but you can't have one without the other.
I forgot. I didn't even bring that up when I first saw this. I thought, she is so plain Jane.
She's plain.
She's not even pretty. However, when I watched it again this time, I'm like, oh my gosh, John D's so cute.
Yeah.
She looks like a manga character. The way her hair is cut.
Exactly.
Her big eyes.
Right.
I don't remember thinking that about her the first time.
Oh yeah, she's very plain.
But I don't think that anymore. Now that when I go back to look at her, I thought, she is so cute.
She's cute, but she's plain. She's cute she's cute, but plain. She's like,
she doesn't have the long, flowy hair.
She's like a cheese pizza.
Yeah, but cheese just pizza saying. Is good. A lot of people like
I'm
cheese
not pizza. Saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. It's plain, but damn, you know, it's good. It's still good. I'm just saying. That's it.
So, Johnny gets the red card.
Yes.
And it goes downhill from here. You know, she goes into her class. She doesn't have a desk.
Yep. They take the desk.
They
take a book.
Yeah. They move her desk out. It's written all over.
Mm-hmm.
It just gets uglier and uglier.
Mm-hmm.
This is where they throw the eggs at her,
yep.
the flour.
Yep.
You see her friend, Minji, yep. walk away.
Yeah. That was kind of sad.
And so she goes again to the stairwell. And again, she sees Jihoo, and he's not even fazed. He just gives her his handkerchief, wipes her face.
Tries to wipe her off. That still just cracks me up.
It's cute. It's cute. But, you know, she's like, do they know how much it costs? This flour costs, the eggs? You could have made pancakes.
Yeah.
And that's when, you know, he's like, do you know how to make pancakes?
Mm-hmm.
And then she kind of starts to tell him. And then we find out later, you know, why he was interested in the pancakes. Because he's obsessing over a girlfriend that's overseas. And she's a model.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the article in the magazine that she's enjoying, like, pancakes for breakfast.
Oh,
did you know? You
didn't notice that.
Oh, okay. That's why he had that little fixation about pancakes.
Oh, okay.
Because she was in an article eating pancakes.
Okay.
That's so funny because I don't know if I got that the first time either. I just thought, maybe pancakes are like, you know, a big deal. You know, like we want to have sushi all the time or something.
Yeah,
American pancakes.
Yeah, it didn't even occur to me that it was just anything other than she's covered with eggs and flour to make pancakes.
No,
that's good. That's good stuff.
Anyway, so again, you see him trying to be really nice. He gives her the handkerchief, and then I guess that's when he tells her that, you know, he wasn't going to be back.
Yeah,
because he's planning to go find his girlfriend.
Yeah,
you know, wherever she is. And then he keeps making comments about her being so loud because he wants all you see him do is sleep. Like they've made comments about, you know, you see him asleep in the gym, you know, when she's getting, you know, in the pool with all that junk in the pool. So Jun Pyeol is now, he's obsessed with her. He's starting to be obsessed with this girl.
Yeah.
Because she's probably the first girl that ever talked back to him.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I mean, he even said that, which was a really interesting, and I'm wondering if we'll see any more of it. But when she stuck the ice cream in his face, and she was like standing up to him already, he was like, let's not do this American thing here.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I didn't hear that the first time.
Yes,
or I don't
right.
remember it the first time. So I'm like,
we kind of let it pat, go over our head.
This is like a Korean girl trying to be like an American girl, and you know that
stick
clearly
up for herself.
To stick up for herself. I was like, we don't do that here. Yeah, and
ooh,
I was like, ooh,
that was interesting,
right? So yeah.
Very interesting. Something to think about.
No, for sure.
You're now, like thinking about it.
I know, right? It's like we're actually like sitting here like
quietly. Just you can cut all that empty space out.
Yeah, for sure, but. So, because she got the red card, they trashed the pool. As a matter of fact, no, he even coordinated. Jun Pyeol, he coordinated
the
trashing of the pool.
Because
he's like called, like he received phone calls, people call, this stuff.
He's getting people. There's another little scene in here. I don't even think it's important. The whole thing about when the F4 guys go out to dinner to some fancy restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And then you have some... You know, I've read reviews, some bad acting from these, you know, white women.
look, straight up, folks, we just call it how we see it, in which it ain't going to surprise you if you saw the episode yourself or if you see any white actors ever. If you
They're
ever
terrible.
See a white person in one of these Korean dramas, they are horrible actors. Just bad. Bad all the way across. And I'm just like, I don't get how you got in. How did you get in? Who did you know to get you into Boys over. See, that's. I'm going to tell you what, though. Let me just make this clear. Hmm. That's the kind of role that I want us to be in one day.
A bad actor?
Well, we're going to be way better at acting. I'm just saying, though, like a little scene like that with me and you in one of these big old productions or whatever, handing Eamon Ho his cup of coffee or something like that, that's the person I want to be in one of these Korean dramas one day, I'm just going to say.
I'm thinking...
We got to keep doing it long enough for us to get into a Korean drama. That's
it. I'm thinking that because there's a language difference, that they just don't see it. You can't see the bad acting.
No. It's bad acting is universal.
It can't be. They just don't, must not. It must not pass differently.
The acting of other people is really good. So bad acting must be recognizable. You can tell when someone's stiff and not delivering their lines very well.
I don't know.
Anyway, we ain't picking on white people. Let's be clear. We're picking on the white actors that are in these freaking dramas. It's like, I don't know where they get them from, straight up. I mean, literally, you could pull someone off the street and do better. And do better than the people that are in there. Like,
maybe
straight up.
Maybe these white actors, maybe they're very popular in some way because, and they're not actors. Because, you know, we see movies here where they'll throw in a athlete. And
you know what?
They're not that
great.
Not that great of an actor. But because they're so well known, people like to see them. So maybe that's it. Maybe
she was actually a French
chef.
Very
famous. You know what? So that's what I see. That's what I think.
I could be okay with that.
Yeah, maybe we'll find out one day. But, you know, somebody had made comments about the bad acting, about Woo-bin trying to, I don't, you know, he does his little, I don't even know what you call it, his, when he's talking in the, when he's like, yo, yo, my baby, or, you know, he tries to be all hip. I've heard people like that, you know, they were not happy about that part. And I'm like, you know what? How many times do Americans try to act French?
Yeah.
No, we do that all the time. And the French are probably looking at us and going, oh, my God, they don't even know how.
Or we'll say something. I mean, we live in Southern California, or say something like, say a one liner in Spanish.
Oh, totally. All the time.
But we'll say something goofy like, it took me years to realize that saying "les vominos" was redundant. Let's vominos, and it's like, well, while vominos means let's go, and so wait, when you're saying that,
when
you
they
say,
conjugate,
let's go,
yeah,
and so you know, it's like we do that stuff all the time.
Into
it's
a native speaker,
everyone does that, and so a native speaker would just go, like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe.
So
quesadillas, you know what I'm saying? Like, people say stupid stuff all the time.
That's how I saw it. It was a little rough to watch him say that. Gangster type of talk, hip hop rapper type.
I wouldn't put black gangster or anything next to that. But
not gang, but somebody did say something like that on one of the reviews, and I'm like, you know,
I get hip hop. I don't know if you can pull being black into it, but I'm okay.
Maybe gangster thing. I don't know. I might have not even read it correctly, but yeah, it was kind of funny to hear him say that. But I just thought, I'm sure we do that all the time, too. So I just got over it.
I'm a little offended by saying he was black. It sounded like a black gangster, but I guess I'll get over it.
Well, before we get over it, because I may not even.
You might not even say it right.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah. I'm past it now. I'm good.
Okay, good. Well, the scene that I want to get to is the pool. He littered the pool with trash.
Mm-hmm.
So she picks all that up. And then she goes, I think her friend shows up at the pool. And they have like, you know, a little sweet time there where she's like, no. Minji shows up at the pool.
It's not when the pool got trashed.
Oh, it wasn't at the end?
I don't think it was when the pool got trashed. I think it was the pool got trashed, I think, at the end. At the end.
Yeah, it is. But doesn't Minji
comes in, and I think it's okay. In the middle because remember she was Jondi was like really upset with herself, and yes. So she was swimming yes. hard because she yes. that was that time when she first like she had that whole head scene and she didn't say nothing, and so she was swimming hard. That's when she came in.
You're right, and she said, "I'm here for the pool and you," mm-hmm. you know, her first friend. But what happens is when she gets out of the pool and some of Junpyo's guys are in there.
Yeah, his goons. Yeah.
And it ends.
Do we know that it's Junpyo's
goons? They don't say it, but I'm pretty sure they trash the pool and are waiting for her.
Mm.
And it could be a very scary scene.
No, that's a rape scene, for crying out loud. And I don't know why.
But they're not raping her.
I clearly understand that.
So
that
why
they're not
would you say a rape scene?
Three guys jumping on a woman.
Yeah, but they didn't rape her. They went in there to grab her and they pull her out.
Okay. No. It's just really scary.
Is scary. That's what I just said. It could be very scary, but don't make it into what it's not. They're not there to rape her.
I don't know how you know that at this moment right now.
Well, that's why I'm saying you don't know that. I'm saying it is scary. It's a scary thing. But I don't want to make it into
anyway.
At this point, they go in there and they're like drag her.
Yes, I hear what you're saying is scary. And so I don't, you know,
it's scary.
I guess to not put any names on it, I get that. And yet at the same time, when I watched this the first time, you know, it's like if it was 7 years ago, then that means that Alana was what, 5 or so, give or take. And this time, this was a lot more visceral. It was a lot more real for me. And so I'm just like, if I would have saw this the first time now, I don't know how much further I would go along here, because I hate being the dude that says, now that I have a daughter, I see things different. All I know is that when I saw that this time, I had a very different reaction.
You know what? I may just don't even want to go there.
Okay.
Maybe that's just, I know. I'm like, they didn't rape her. That's not what they're going to do. Stop it. Don't say it. It's just probably I don't even want to deal with that.
Right.
But that is scary.
It is.
Three guys in the bathroom. Yeah. Things happen all the time.
Indeed.
That's a scary thing. So we're just kind of having fun with this. We hope you enjoyed it.
It's going to be good. I really am looking forward to watching this series again. I really am.
Me too. I'm it's interesting to talk about and go, you know, I felt this when I first watched it, or I'm feeling different just like you are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to be good. This is Talk K-Dramas with Bruce and Alice, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Bye.